We turn in God's Word tonight to Psalm 139. Text tonight will be verses 14 through 16. And I'm preaching on that tonight because this is Travis's favorite passage and speaks powerfully to us as well tonight. So Psalm 139. In Psalm 139, the greatness of God is on display. The greatness of the fact that God is a God who knows all things. God is a God who's everywhere present, and God is almighty. He's all-powerful. And so that greatness of God is set before us here in the psalm. Take notice of that as we read the chapter. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. Surely Thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against Thee wickedly, and Thy enemies take Thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate Thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against Thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. And thus far we read God's Word. As I said, the text tonight is verses 14 through 16. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. In Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Let's pray and ask God's blessing on the Word. Father, Thou art the all-knowing, everywhere present, Almighty God. The God who accomplishes great things, always accomplishing what it is that Thou hast planned from all eternity, because in Thy great power Thou art able to do it. We trust that same thing here tonight, that Thou will accomplish Thy purpose through the Word Thou hast brought. May it go forth in power and strength and accomplish Thy purpose. May it comfort our souls. We need that, Father. May it strengthen us in our faith. We need that as well, because our faith can be so weak at times. May we see and know ourselves rightly as those who are created and formed by Thee, all for the glory of Thy great name. So through this word, may Thy name be exalted. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I call your attention at the beginning of the sermon to a New Testament passage. John chapter 9, first three verses of John 9. There in John 9, Jesus and His disciples walked by a man that they knew was born blind. And the question of the disciples to Jesus was essentially this: why was he born blind? Now, they didn't ask it exactly that way. In fact, when they asked Jesus that question, they gave two possibilities. Was this man born blind because he sinned or because his parents sinned? And that was the prevailing idea in that day. If there were a man who was born with a certain kind of deformity, a certain illness or disease, it was because either that person had sinned or his parents had sinned. It was because there was some sin that was committed, and this was the direct punishment of God upon that one. And early there, you can plug in anything. Not just blindness, if someone is born lame, or someone is born with Down syndrome, or someone is born in some other way in which they show very expressly that they're different than others. And so that's the question that sometimes we face in our lives. Why was Travis born the way that he was, or anyone else for that matter? And that's not just for a few. That's true for all of us. But what's striking is Jesus' answer. He doesn't rebuke them or admonish them. But he does point out it wasn't that this man had sinned or that his parents had sinned, but this, that the works of God might be made manifest in him. That the works of God might be made manifest in him. What were those works of God? Well, just after this, Jesus heals the man of his blindness. But that's not it. There's a greater work. That blind man was saved. He was given eyes to see and know Jesus. As we see and understand that within the church and when it comes to God's people, why is it that certain people are born a certain way or given certain things? It's that the works of God may be manifest. Today we saw that. Works of God manifest in a young believer here within the church. I call your attention to that because that leads us right into Psalm 139 and the verses that we consider in Psalm 139, which point out to us the great power of God. He's almighty. He's omnipotent. Yes, He's the God who knows all things. He's the God who's everywhere present. But He is also the almighty God. And here in this passage, David is pointing out the power of God when it came to his own birth and the forming of who he was physically and spiritually and even communally with others. He points out the power of God. God's power was on display in this work. That's what we want to see and understand tonight. The amazing, the powerful work of God in making us who we are physically, making us who we are spiritually, making us who we are as we are part of the body of Jesus Christ. And those are our three points tonight. So we consider this text under the theme, fearfully and wonderfully made. First, physically. Secondly, spiritually. And third, communally. David here in this psalm is looking back upon his own conception and birth, and then seeing and knowing his body as it was at that time. He looks back and he praises God for his work in making him fearfully and wonderfully. We see and understand that the creation of a new life and conception and pregnancy and birth is God's amazing, marvelous work. And it is. So we look back for a moment And you think not just about Travis when Travis was born, but every one of us when we were born, and we look back upon that as David did, and he confessed, I will praise thee because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Let's make that very personal tonight. I will praise thee because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. David uses three words to express the infinite wonder of God's work in giving life. So if we look at verse 14 and the words there, we know the words well. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. In your Bibles, it may be that the "and" there between fearfully and wonderfully is in italics, and that tells us it's not in the original, so that we could read it this way, fearfully, wonderfully made. And the idea is that word fearfully is in, get into English a little bit, but an adverb, and fearfully made is one word in the original. It's the main verb there of the verse. Wonderfully made, one word. So fearfully goes along with that. And then after that, marvelous are thy works. And that word marvelous is from the same Hebrew word that we have that verb, wonderfully made. So those three words, that word fearfully means this. Wonderful works of God that produce awe in our hearts. It's something so amazing that we stand in awe of it. Our conception and birth is that. Wonderfully made. Remember, that's together, the main verb here. The manner in which David is made is a wonder. It's a wonder of God. We use the term miracle. You want to talk about a miracle? If there's anyone in this world, it's that. It's the miracle of birth. And then it is marvelous. It's so wondrous that it produces amazement within us. Tonight, we stand in awe and wonder at God's marvelous work of creating life. It's not just something that a man and woman decide that they are going to do. No, the reality is it is God's work. And it's His work within the womb. It's done in secret, the text tells us. It's not something that's visible to our eyes. We don't have a little window to peek in and see what's going on. Now, we know what's going on. Doctors can tell us certain things about the way conception happens and the way that a child develops in the womb. And it's really quite amazing when you start looking at it. That when an egg is fertilized in a woman, there is one cell that is formed. And that's the miracle of God. That one cell that is formed. And that one cell contains the complete DNA, genetic blueprint for each unique child. Which will then be what determines the color of the eyes, the color of the hair, the makeup of their body, how tall one will be, how short one will be, their skin tone, how big their nose is, and everything else that is part of them. God is the one who does that. And that tiny little embryo develops rather quickly. So that at the end of the first month, it's 10,000 times larger than when it began, and yet it's still only about a quarter of an inch long. After 22 days, we know that the heart starts beating. In the second month, brain tissue is growing and developing, so that 40 days later, brain waves are and can be recorded. And then this one-celled person develops into a person with not just millions or billions, but trillions of cells. Trillions of cells make up our bodies. David's speaking of that. He's speaking of that. In verse 15, substance there refers to the bone structure of a person. In verse 13, he's talking about the skin and flesh that cover the internal organs. In verse 16, he speaks of the unformed mass of cells that begins in the beginning. All of it secret, naked to or invisible to the naked eye. But yet seen by God. Worked by God. All with great detail and care. It is all God's work. What we see and understand here is that when God gives life and makes us the way that we are physically, He makes no mistakes. Tonight, we are, in regard to Travis, just as much as anybody else here tonight, in awe of the great work of God. That's true with every one of us, with the physical weaknesses, undesirable characteristics, or genetic defects that we may have. Fearfully and wonderfully made applies to every one of us who are here tonight. The world has a very different view of that. The world says, no, it's wrong, it's a mistake. And the world in which we live now says, if you know ahead of time that there's a child who's going to have some genetic disorder or even is Down syndrome, abort. Get rid of it. That's the world in which we live, but with God, there are no mistakes. But yet the question is, how do we understand all of this? It does take faith to believe this, because it certainly is not easy. There is no doubt that these things, as we're talking about genetic disorders, things that we would consider to be wrong with us, there is no doubt that this is the result of sin. Sin affects genetics. Sin affects us physically. It affects us in many different ways. Yet we see and understand in the midst of that, that God is sovereign over that and He's ruling over all of these things. So we see and understand on the one hand there is sin and there's an explanation in that. But on the other hand, God is sovereign and He is working to accomplish His purpose. He is a God who delights to bestow abundant honor on what we call a weakness or a defect. And so we see the wonderful works of God even among those who are children, even though they may have different sicknesses, weaknesses that they are born with. But why does God do that? It's to display His amazing and wonderful works. And so it takes us back to John 9. That's why I began with John 9 tonight. We want to see and understand, yes, God works and He works sovereignly and powerfully. He's in control of all of these things. Sin's part of that equation too and part of this picture. But God does this to accomplish His purpose, that His works might be made manifest. So on the one hand, we see the amazing work of God in the creation of each one of us, with who we are, with the abilities of mind that we have, the abilities of body, the gifts and talents that we have. Some have certain gifts and talents, others have other gifts and talents, all different, and yet so weak at the same time. God's purpose is to show His amazing work of salvation. So that leads us into understanding when the text points out to us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. It's not just physically. That's part of it. It's an amazing thing. But it's true spiritually. You see, we are more than just physical beings. The miracle of God in giving physical life is a picture. It points us to a greater work, a higher work, an amazing work. His work in us spiritually, saving us. In the text, David here is not just speaking of earthly physical life, but he's speaking of spiritual life that God gives His people. It's evident from the very fact that, first of all, when David confesses the greatness of God's work in forming him and making him, he understands this from the perspective of a believer. He is a believer when he says this. He has faith. He's looking at this through the lens of one who is saved. And along with that, understand and know the idea of the word praise. In verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That word praise means to confess the greatness of God for benefits bestowed. David doesn't simply remember the benefits of earthly physical life, his own birth and his own life and existence here on this earth. But David understands he has received the gift of spiritual life. And that's true of David. Constantly through his life and through the Psalms, He's expressing the greatness of the God of his salvation. And then thirdly, along with that, we see and know that David is focused on the spiritual as well, because he says in verse 16, that my soul knoweth right well. He knows. He's talking about faith there. Faith which is the gift of God. What is that faith which is a gift of God? Well, we understand and know that faith unites us to Jesus Christ. It's that bond, Lord's Day 7 of the Heidelberg Catechism teaches us. But when we are united to Jesus Christ, what we are given is knowledge and confidence. Knowledge and confidence. Faith is knowing God. Faith is knowing Jesus Christ. David is confessing here that he's received this spiritual gift from God. He knows God. He knows the love of God. He knows the Savior who is coming to save him from his sins. He knows the God who knows all things, and he knows the God who is everywhere present, and he knows the God as well who is all-powerful and sovereign in all things. And David is praising God for this gift of knowledge that he has. And the only way that he has it is that God has opened his eyes to see these things. Tonight, we praise God for the gift of faith that has worked in Travis and all of his people. Travis, when he came before the elders, he confessed the basics of the Reformed faith and the Christian religion. He did. He said that he knew that Jesus Christ is his Savior, that he died on the cross to save him from his sins. He made that confession with the words of his mouth as he had been taught those things. Yes, by his family, by his parents, by his sisters. He'd been taught those things. And he expressed those things. And that's what we praise God for tonight, this gift of faith that has worked in him. So, just as much as we acknowledge that it was God's gift to Travis that he has this faith, it's just as much a gift of God to us where we have that faith, where we are able to confess, and confess more maybe than Travis does. But yet, that faith is the gift of God. It's not our own ability. It's not my mind and what I'm able to think through and understand on my own. No, it's God. God who's given that precious and amazing gift. How does God work that in us? Well, we are fearfully and wonderfully made spiritually by His grace. The text is teaching us in verse 16 that God knows His people in Jesus Christ before they are conceived. This gift of faith goes back to God's plan and His counsel. David is saying that even before he was conceived, God knew him. And even before we were conceived, God knew us. We were in His book. Now, there's a couple of things that means. First of all, that book refers to the decree and the plan of God. Ephesians 1 verse 11 tells us that God works all things after the counsel of His own will. He's planned everything. He's determined everything. And everything that happens in our lives happens according to His sovereign decree. This book refers to that, His plan, His counsel for all things and for our lives. That's part of it. But that's not all of it. The source of faith in our believing in Jesus Christ goes back to this too. Not just God's plan, but that He is the one who determines who His people will be. This is the book in which we read, as it were, of those upon whom God sets His love. It's not simply a book like there might be records in the state today of a person who was born on such and such a date and then later died on such and such a date. It's not a book just with all of those facts written in it. No, it's a book that determines who will live with God forevermore. It's more than His decree of providence. It's the book that contains the decree of predestination. God determines who He will save. And He determines that from all eternity, not based upon what any person does, not based upon what parents do. It's God who determines who He will save. Where does this faith come from? It comes from God who determines the ones upon whom He will set this gift of faith. And the foundation of this is the work of Jesus Christ, our Savior, upon the cross. Spiritual life and radical change in our lives is possible only because Christ bore our sins on the cross. We have to remember that tonight, even as David is pointing out the marvelous works of God and His making and forming him spiritually, that certainly includes what God would do in sending the Messiah and the Savior. Tonight we know Jesus Christ, don't we? And we know what it means to know Jesus Christ. To know Jesus is not simply to know that there's this man Jesus who lived at one time upon the face of the earth, and He was walking with His disciples, and they came across this blind man, and there was this discussion between Jesus and His disciples. No, it's more than that. It's not just that there's a Jesus who died upon a cross. That's true. That's part of His life. But it's more than that. It's understanding and knowing that Jesus, when He hung upon the cross, was bearing there the wrath of God that you and I deserved for all of our sins. And because He did that, there is no wrath for me. And there's no wrath for Travis. And there's no wrath for those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has earned for us life with God and all the blessings of salvation. And that cross is a power to change us, to transform us. And what's so beautiful about that is that no matter how we look physically, no matter how we look physically, what's important is how we look spiritually before God. Righteous. Perfect in His eyes. Because we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ that is given, that is imputed to us. So you see and understand that the source of this spiritual life, first of all, is God's decree. Secondly, it's rooted in the cross of Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, we see and understand that God works spiritual life within us. That's the idea of John chapter 3 when Jesus meets with Nicodemus. And Jesus tells him that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. We're reminded that we are dead in our sin, which means that we are under the power and dominion of sin ourselves. In order to break free from that, the Lord Jesus Christ, by His powerful work in our hearts, must change us, give us new hearts, so that we love Him and serve Him instead of heeding Him and turning away from His word and commandments. That's what Jesus Christ does by His Spirit within us. And part of that work is that we're recreated in the image of Jesus Christ. We're made to resemble our elder brother. We're made to resemble our Father in heaven as well. That's all the work of God. There it is in a nutshell, isn't it? The gospel right there. What does God do to save us? He chooses us. He sent His Son to die for those people He chose. And He works in them the life of Jesus Christ through the work of the Spirit. And out of that comes this faith that knows God and knows Jesus. Tonight we see and understand how important this is. And when we know that this is God's work, we confess with David, I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully, wonderfully made. Physically, yes. Spiritually, also, as well. How beautiful that is. That means tonight, when it comes to Travis and the confession that he made tonight, that the only explanation for that is the work of God. And we praise Him for that work of God. But when we see and understand this, when this truth of saving grace grips us, then it really does change our outlook on things. And one of the ways in which it changes us tonight is that we don't become so focused on the physical. We live in a day that's very focused on the physical. And what I mean is very focused on the body. What do people see? Having a certain look, maybe making sure that I look good. Maybe before I go out of the house in the morning, making sure I'm all made up because I don't want people to see me in such a way. We become very focused on our bodies, how we look, what we wear, how our hair is done, and so many other things. That doesn't mean that we don't take care of our bodies. It doesn't mean we're not concerned about our bodies at all. But we see and understand that there's an idolatry in that in the age in which we live. And we want to see and understand tonight that what's truly important is not how we look physically. To spend all kinds of time in the mirror to work on that. To spend all kinds of time in the gym working on that. But instead, what's so important is the way we are spiritually. Isn't that what we learn from Travis? How concerned is he with how he looks physically? But what's important is who he is spiritually. Who we are in Christ's blood, what God is working in us, how we are living in the power of the Holy Spirit. We see and understand that this is what makes us truly beautiful. Beautiful before God and beautiful before one another as well. This really does change the way in which we even look at ourselves. Because God has changed us and worked in us. And the basis of the blood of Jesus Christ. So David says, I will praise thee for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He's talking about how he's made physically. Secondly, how he's made spiritually. But the third thing we see and understand tonight is how he is made even communally. As David speaks of God's decree and the creation of our bodies, David speaks here of the place that everyone has in the body of Jesus Christ. Our physical bodies in Scripture point us to a heavenly reality. And the heavenly reality to which our very bodies point us as they are created by God is the reality of the church as the body of Jesus Christ. Just as much as how God has determined how our bodies work together and He has ordained every part of His this body, so also He has ordained every part of the church and how it fits together. What's part of the church? We have been given gifts and abilities so that we may serve the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are reminded tonight that every member of the body is important. Every member is a vital part of the body. Now, I can remember years ago, an elderly man saying when we had family visitation with him and we were talking about the church as a body and that he had an important place in the body, and he's saying on that family visit, well, I think I'm like a gallbladder. And I'd never heard anybody say that before, like a gallbladder. Well, yeah, a gallbladder, you can live with it, you can live without it. I'm like a gallbladder. I don't think I have a very important place in the church. It was an opportunity to talk about that then. Yes, that can be true with our physical bodies, and that's maybe where the figure breaks down. But the reality is our bodies are functioning well when every part of the body is functioning as it should. So the gallbladder is an important part of the body, and therefore that man and all of us are important parts of the body. God has assigned to each of us a place in this body. But what we remember today is what a great blessing it is to be part of the body of Jesus Christ. We all have different places. Travis has his place in the body. But we all have our place in this body as well. What we're reminded of is the very fact that just as a body works together, so also then we are to work together. But we do that in love. We're reminded tonight that we are to love the other members of the body. When a confession of faith is made, that confession is made not only in Jesus Christ and not only confessing the doctrine that is taught in the church, but there's a communal part to that. It's saying, I want to be part of this body of the Lord Jesus Christ as it's manifest here. I believe I'm part of the one body of Christ, but now I want to be part of this body, and I am committed to loving the other members of the body. That is part of our confession. But that's not always easy. In many ways, and I say that especially to you friends and classmates of Travis, loving Travis in some ways is easy. Maybe mom and dad would find it different. There's struggles with it. But loving Travis is easy. Travis is easy to get along with. He doesn't talk back to you. He's not going to say something mean to you. Maybe he'll resist some of the things you want him to do when you're asked to help him do something. But there are other parts of the body who can be more difficult to love. And we have to remember here tonight that we have to love all the members of the body. Travis is a member of the body. We love Travis. He's an important part of the body. We want to serve him and we want to help him. That's great. That's good. But what about some of the others? Or maybe a little bit on the outskirts. Who have different differences from us than Travis has. Maybe not quite as noticeable. But yet there are other members of the body who are struggling as well. We're called to reach out to them. We're called to help them. That's part of being in a body, part of being made part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we give ourselves for the good of one another. So with the understanding of that tonight, let us together praise the God who works these great things. That's the way David begins here in the text. I will praise thee. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. We praise God for His creation of our bodies in the way that they are. We praise God for His spiritual work of saving us in Jesus Christ. We praise Him for that too. And we praise Him because He has made us part of the body of Jesus Christ. These are all great reasons to praise our great God. This is a psalm about the greatness of God. Let's praise Him for this great work of our Almighty God. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful tonight for Thy Word, which reminds us of the greatness of Thy work in Jesus Christ. We're reminded that Thou art the God who makes us and forms us as we are. But Thou art the God also who gives us life, spiritual life, and makes us part of the body of Jesus Christ. Father, we are richly blessed. And what we do is we end this time together, and after hearing this word, is we praise Thee for what Thou hast done. We're in awe of Thy marvelous works. We pray, O God, that that awe would carry through into this week. That we would go back to our work, that we would go back to our jobs, that we would go back to our callings in the awareness of the great work of Thee, our God, continuing to praise Thee for what Thou hast done. We give thanks for Travis and his place in our church. Continue to go with him in this new week as well. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.